We are bringing in, again, our first guest for Title IX Talk is head women's basketball coach and athletic director at Siena Heights, Miss Sue Siljabeck. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. I'm glad we figured it out and got to have you in studio. So that's always
ever.
Good.
First time ever.
I know. It's unbelievable. You haven't been in here. I can't. No. As many times you've been on the air.
I know. COVID kind of, you know, put a little twist in it. But
well, so, again, this is Title IX week. I think, Thursday, I believe, is the actual 50th.
It's the 23rd, I think.
Yeah, yep. Anniversary of Title IX. And if you're not familiar with Title IX, basically, this is allowing women a level playing field with men was the whole idea behind it all. And Sue, you've been through probably quite a bit of, you know, the differences and of where you started playing in high school sports compared to where they are now too. Give us a little insight of maybe when did you graduate from high school?
Oh, now you're asking private
no,
questions.
I know you're not any older than me, so
I graduated in 92.
See, actually, I knew you weren't as old as me, so so you would it. I mean, yes, there was probably some, but not like I was the 83 grad, and I remember, you know, not having my sister was 77, and my brother 75. So, not watching, you know, as many women's sports go on at that time. But you know, in the 90s, definitely it changed from when I was there. But what it is now compared to what you were in school is still a big dramatic change.
Oh yeah, a world of difference. I mean, I don't remember watching many women's basketball games. Maybe occasionally, I think I can recall maybe one or two in my whole career of growing up as women's basketball, you know, college, that is not professional for sure. In fact, I know there was a professional basketball team that was trying in, like, you know, earlier than the WNBA.
Right.
But it wasn't anything like what it was. It wasn't supported, you know, and I don't remember that. In fact, the WNBA came out the year I left college. I actually tried out for it, believe it or not. I was invited to a tryout. Didn't make it, but it was a pretty cool experience to go to that. So, yeah, you know, I know even in, you know, when I was playing in high school, you know, my mom told me, you know, my mom's like, we did the booster club so you could get uniforms for basketball or softball. And I was blessed to be able to play those because I was talking to Fred Smith. We, you know, we're doing something at Siena Heights coming the fall. And he remembers some of his sisters not even having that opportunity
right.
to play. So, but, you know, ours was at a different level and, you know, each group of women, I guess, each aid group has experience to tell.
Well, that's what we were just talking about, the, you know, like this Union Seawing softball that's 15 of 16 years they've been in the Final Four. But he's talking about not really, the coach was mentioning that he doesn't have to beg players to come out because there's such success, they always want to be a part of it. But to think back to, I mean, it's think of 15 years of that, but, you know, think, when you were there and talk about not even watching high school games or thinking about it, where now it's natural to be able to have that. And, you know, I guess that's the reason and what Title IX was meant for. And it, you know, it's definitely, I know that there's still disparity. Obviously we see it and you see it when different things, but it still has come so far from what it used to be.
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, you know, you asked about, you know, say something about people coming out for it. And I just remember my mom saying, you know, this isn't Title IX, but maybe her parents thinking it, you know, she wanted to do sports and she's like, nope, you got to come home because her parents didn't probably know much, you know, about
right.
it. But yeah, it's from back to not allowing us to, you know, it goes back to society thinking that we couldn't handle running up and down a basketball court,
yes.
you know, our bodies couldn't take it.
Yeah.
To, you know, to now obviously having a professional, you know, a professional league to a lot of, you know, there's a lot of talk about Brittany, but people going overseas to get paid what they're getting paid over
mm-hmm.
there. So it has grown. You're right, though. I'm glad you said that. It's still not where it needs to end because obviously there's always work to do.
Yeah, and then you bring up, you know, when you look at Title IX and what it is now, you know, at first there were men's sports that were dropped at colleges just to try to keep that level playing field. And, you know, there was people that were getting mad when, you know, hey, let's drop a wrestling program so we can add a women's this, or we don't have to add a women's if we drop a men's to try to keep it at the same. But now you look at, you know, with you guys at Siena, when you're bringing in wrestling, it's men's and women's. And, you know, it's now it's kind of being able to add sports and some different things. So, and you see it now on your athletic director side as different from being, you know, a player and just a coach. And now you have to think about it differently too, probably, when you talk about, can we add this or can we do this? Well, how can we make it still, you know, that same level playing field? And does that come into some ideas and thoughts when you're trying to put stuff together?
100%. You know, we talked about wrestling, and to, you know, that was our latest add, is men's and women's wrestling. And so that was not that we weren't going to add one or the other. It was just making sure we did start with the men's first, and then, but it was strictly then to follow up right away, you know, to get the women's wrestling. You know, I was given a lesson on Siena Heights by Fred and Al, because we had this exact meeting of what we were going to do, and it was really kind of cool, as, you know, Fred and Al both had shared with me that, you know, since we were started by women, we were a women's college, that we were actually playing college athletics, you know, first, because obviously right. We didn't have any male teams on that, which was kind of neat, you know. I mean, you knew it, but you just didn't think about it. So, but yeah, and then obviously finishing up our softball field was a huge piece of that, you know, because obviously our baseball field, and just trying to be
right,
comparable to both genders.
And that's a tough thing. I remember quite a few years ago, you know, there's some stories at some different towns where boosters were raising money to do something at a baseball field. It's like, well, you can't unless you do the same improvements and stuff. And I think that's where some of it got in trouble too, with booster clubs, or you've got, you know, a kid on the baseball team, so he wanted to do this, or, you know, you but you have to really, now you have to be very conscious of that. And it's not trying to slight one or the other, but maybe you've got a bigger booster group for this, but it's like, you still can't do it. You have to really pay attention to what you're doing, and I think that's a good thing, because I think before there wasn't enough attention being paid. It was just, oh, you do this, okay, great, and then all of a sudden the women, well, why don't we have that? You
know, why don't we have as good a field as they do? Yeah. But
so that's part of it, I think, is really kind of making sure it's not just somebody out there just throwing a bunch of money too.
Yeah, I think that is, it's been helpful, obviously, because, you know, most people have seen men's basketball, baseball, even football, and they, like I told you, I do not recall but maybe one or two games growing up in my lifetime, you know, of high school-ish, you know, trying to decide. So when they say, of course, people are going to want to donate to what they know. And
right.
They know men. They knew men's sports then, and so I've been a part of different institutions where that actually happened. And they said, unless you donate this to help out the women's sport, then we can't do it. And we were lucky enough at that university that donor did, and so it helped both programs, you know, get ahead and stay up with, you know, what is trending in the NCAA at that time.
And is the NAI similar on the same playing field is like what the NCAA does for the Title IX, or is that as far as having, you know, because football skews it when you have so many people, so you can't have the same amount of athletes, but there's a certain percentage, is that correct, is how it works?
So you're supposed to, you know, obviously there's been a couple, but you know the big one is you're supposed to offer the same amount of scholarship dollars opportunities as your enrollment, you know, and, you know, but obviously football helps enrollments at smaller schools.
Right.
So that's been one that's you know, we're trying to watch schools are. There's been one that, you know, you can, the latest one is you can serve up the, one when I mean prongs, right? They call them prongs. And then survey, you can survey what students want at the university. And that was one that's been fairly liberal at some institutions.
Right.
About 10 or 15 years ago, they took it into their own, you know, determination of things, and I think it's kind of come around now, and most people are trying to compare to enrollment based on opportunity scholarship dollars to each sport. But you're right, football is the biggest challenge even for us at Siena, because we bring in 125, you know, and it's so big. But you know, that's the thing about the NAI, though, which we actually compete, though, is it has helped us because we play competitive cheer and competitive dance, where the NCAA, for some reason, I'm not sure the reasoning behind it, I probably should know, they don't consider that a collegiate competition sport. They do have them, and they do go compete, so yeah. I don't want to speak out of mine, but we actually have a national, recognized NAIA national championship. I believe, and I don't want to speak, but I think they compete for, at the NCAA level, they compete at a national championship, but it's like at Disney.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an NCAA one.
Right, I don't think it is either.
I don't know.
It's not like an, it's put on by the NCAA, but it's not like, not, I don't know the right word
it's
to
not,
use.
It's
yeah.
not an NCAA yeah, it's championship not an,
yeah,
sport.
Yeah. But it's like a national champ, your national champion, but not NCAA national champions. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. But that is weird. But that allows you the opportunity to, you know,
gets us a little closer to that race. You know, it gets us a little closer. And I'm telling you, I mean, I'm real proud of our cheer and dance program. You know, our dance and cheer both have been to the Nationals, and have competed for it. And, you know, has, you know, our program's been really nationally recognized, and it's a strong program for us.
Well, again, you're Inside the Cave this morning, Jeff Bowman, Andrew Morton, along with the athletic director at Siena Heights University and also the women's basketball coach. I can't just, you know, Coach Sue Siljevec. And Coach, so just we got another couple minutes here. But, again, appreciate you coming in. And, you know, what are some of your thoughts, I guess, on, you know, some of the biggest changes that you've seen that really – that Title IX has really benefited the women's sports?
I think, obviously, I think you've seen more funding to the programs, scholarshiping to it. You've seen salaries. In fact, some can argue that it's actually helped at the top levels, but at Division I level, that the salaries increase and actually have brought more males to women's sports, specifically probably basketball. I can speak of a little bit more. So some people have had some discussion. You see it on TV now. You still need to see it on more. You know, if you watch, you know, it's on ESPN, you know, just, I don't know, I'm sure you guys, you all followed last year's tournament when that Sabrina, I forget what her name is, took a picture of the NCAA
from Oregon, I believe. Yeah,
their weight room compared to that. I didn't, you know, I knew it, but it just totally, you know, the women's Final Four was not called March Madness, and now it is. And so, but you just see it on more on TV. But it still needs to be more on regular TV, you
right.
know, not just cable, meaning ESPN or, you know, ESPN2. I think that's the next step for it, to just get it more visible. You've seen now Major League Soccer. My niece down in Florida, they go to the games down there and, you know, have the jerseys. You're starting to see boys wear the jersey, which is kind of, you know,
right.
Sue Bird or the Sabrina from New York Liberty that played at Oregon. And, you know, so that's kind of neat. Kind of as I've seen it change, you kind of seeing it recognized on that side of it. And to be honest, probably the fact I'm sitting here as the athletic director, to be the first female athletic director at Siena Heights is a great opportunity that I had and very thankful for.
Yeah, I was watching. I don't know if you watch any of the ESPN about the secondary dream team, the dream on the
I missed
the
that
women's.
Yet. I gotta go back and see it.
It's I've been watching it in pieces, and it's really good, and it's neat to be able to see how, you know, their thought process of how they actually can put the team together and do different things too, to really kind of look. And it was a lot of it spurred on by the NBA to start the WNBA, and you know how they can profit off of it, but it was neat to see that they finally put some thought into how they can take the best players and make it work and stuff. So, well, again, Sue, we appreciate your time. And, again, it's glad to get you in the studio finally to see some Saints stuff here hanging on the wall and the helmets and that.
I might have to update your basketball jersey.
Yeah, so we got the baseball back there.
Yeah, so, yes, we would appreciate that, you know.
When I get my next set, I'll bring out those ones.
Okay.
I think that might be from, like, Al Sandiford. That might be Al Sandiford's jersey.
Probably could have been. Still, this is the Clinton is the oldest. I need to get one of their new jerseys. I wore that as a water boy when I was in elementary school. So that's how old that one is. But again, Sue, we appreciate it. And again, this is it's a fun week for us. We're going to have a lot of different people in to talk about Title IX and just really kind of showcase how women's sports have grown and how they how important they are to what's going on right now, too, in this society and in schools. It's such an opportunity that wasn't there, 20, 30, 40 years ago. So it's awesome.
I appreciate you for having me. Thank you.
Yes, no problem. We're going to take a time out. We got more to talk about here inside the Cave this morning. Jeff Bowman, Andrew Morton right here, 96.5 The Cave and 96.5thecave.com.